We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Happy Friday to you, Tri-State. Evan and Tiki on the fan. The 10th and final Evan and Tiki run without Evan. As he wraps up his European trip, I'm sure he's on a flight about now, getting ready to head to Citi Field for David Wright Day. So today, Tiki, by the way, out for his anniversary. So you get the special, special treat of me, Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, Rosie Cotter with us as well. And we're going to try to do this show, Tommy, the right way.
We're already going with the dad jokes. We're about 30 seconds into the show. I'm on good authority that Evan Roberts is currently on a plane and a flight back to New York. He will land, I would assume, right before the start of the Met game. Otherwise, he will be scoring the game as he is sitting at baggage claim, trying to get his bags back from his European vacation. So I look forward to hearing all about it on Monday.
Absolutely. So look, here's how the show is going to work today. We are about to begin the second half, or, you know, the second half in terms of how we usually view a baseball season, even though we've already begun the second half. Plenty of thoughts on the Yankees and Mets, but Sal has done a great job all week, as has the station. But you heard Sal earlier today with David Wright on, in getting the table set for David Wright Day out at Citi Field tomorrow. It's going to be a fun weekend with plenty of Met legends in town, former teammates, and of course Sunday with the bobblehead day. We will continue to take your calls on the afternoon show. Look, any of your favorite David Wright memories? I'm a good memory lane kind of guy. We will weave that in throughout the show. However, Tommy, as I was cracking my knuckles on the Long Island Railroad, thinking about the second halves of the baseball season, and both you as the Met fan, me as the Yankee fan, our anticipation, our excitement. Do we believe these teams are going to make the big deals at the deadline? What are our realistic expectations? Let's have an honest conversation. And then a big wet blanket was thrown all over me as I boarded the One train this afternoon, as I scrolled X and scrolled Twitter, and saw something that only the Yankees could do. Only the Yankees, who haven't played in a week and had you feeling good after turning the season back around versus Seattle, only the Yankees could deflate you in their first weekend back from the All-Star break with pitching news. So while you have Sean Manaea going tonight, I'm sure the Met fans all gassed up, right? Senga's back in the rotation. Mm-hmm. The Yankees, if you missed this, coming out of the break this weekend versus Atlanta, their three starting pitchers will be Ian Hamilton tonight in a bullpen game, Will Warren tomorrow, and Marcus Stroman Sunday.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Yes. Okay. Now, what does this mean? What are they doing? I want you to count for me like the count, Tommy. I'm going to say a name, and I want you to keep counting how many names I get to.
So you want me to count like I'm the count in the, well, I almost said Muppets.
No, Sesame Street. Okay.
Did I call it Sesame Place?
Is the theme park.
Sesame Street. You got it.
Yeah. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Cam Schlittler.
One.
Max Fried.
Two.
Carlos Rodon.
Three.
Will Warren.
Four.
Marcus Stroman.
Five.
Five. You have five starting pitchers on the Yankees, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's current. That's not even counting the guys on the IL. We expect Heel back. We'll see what happens with Yarborough.
Right.
How many guys does it typically take to fill out a starting rotation?
That would be five.
Five.
Or six if you're the Mets.
Okay.
But yeah, five for the Yankees. More traditional.
Five. Huh. So the Yankees have five starting pitchers, and they have a five-man rotation, and yet, after a week off for everybody not named Carlos Rodon,
right,
the Yankees are coming out of the All-Star break with an Ian Hamilton-led bullpen game? That doesn't pass the sniff test for me, Tommy.
Well, I think it means one of two things. Number one, and this is obviously the more optimistic way to look at it, they're saving Max Fried for the series against Toronto, which will be next week, or Max Fried is going on the IL, presumably with blisters, which he has gone on the IL several times throughout his career with blister problems, I think four or five times throughout his career. He's had a lot of injuries throughout, but blisters has been the big bugaboo for him, and you speculated, Sean, about a week or so ago that Fried would go on the IL because he's dealing with these blisters, and I don't know. If you ask me, I think it's more that he's going on the IL than it is strategy for Toronto next week.
I hope you're wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I agree with you. Was it this week or last week when the Fried stuff popped? And remember, when he was removed from pitching in the All-Star game, and we knew he was pitching last Saturday, I think I was the one with Tiki that said, usually guys who pitch Sunday get removed from the All-Star game. This does not feel right. And then, of course, he pitches Saturday 3 innings. The blister pops up. We find out he's been dealing with blisters for a couple weeks, which would make sense because his couple starts before then were a problem. In Yankee land, we don't typically have starting pitchers land on the IL when blisters arise, okay? And I got a nice life lesson knowing that Max Fried hadn't landed on the IL a bunch, but not paying that close attention. I didn't realize just how many blister trips he'd really taken on the IL, and maybe we had when he signed with the Yankees and I had forgotten about it. But, okay, so this is clearly an issue and something over the next 8 years we may have to get used to. But even if you are correct here, Tommy, and Max Fried and Carlos Rodon, those are the two top starters, they were their all-star pitchers, are being lined up for Toronto. Even if you're correct, it still doesn't math. Because the pitcher tonight would still pitch that third and final game versus Toronto. So even if Max Fried is going to start, let's say, the first game versus Toronto and or Carlos Rodon the second game, why would then Cam Schlittler not start tonight, being in line to pitch that final game in Toronto? Why would, even if you're trying to give Max Fried the most possible time off and you want to hold off Schlittler, why wouldn't Will Warren start tonight? Any way you slice the excuse about saving a Fried or Rodon for Toronto, which I would agree on the premise those are going to be more important games, the math doesn't math. You have five starting pitchers, and you're starting a bullpen game tonight. Where is the urgency? I know it's the Braves. I know it's interleague play, and I know the Toronto series is more important. This team should be coming galvanized, freshened. And you know what else I hate about this, Tommy?
Yeah.
If Fried's going to end up on the IL, and we don't know. We're going to have to wait to see what Aaron Boone says and what's going on. You know, if you're going to start out the break, and you think you're going to need a bullpen game in the next 5 days, just start Will Warren or Stroman tonight, because the last thing you need to do tonight as a Yankee team is burn through your bullpen in a bullpen game and have and or maybe both Will Warren and Marcus Stroman. And Will Warren's pitched good games. He's had down games. Stroman is all over the place as well. Either one of them implodes and gives you an early exit and you burn through a bunch of the bullpen tonight out of the gate when everybody's fresh. That's just pure mismanagement.
Yeah, I think you're burning through the bullpen no matter what this series, because you're going to have the bullpen game tonight. I don't expect either Warren or Stroman to give you a lot of innings in either start. You're doing cartwheels if either one of them can get you through 6 innings. So I think the bullpen, even though they were rested, they've been an issue for the Yankees here in the first half. And with this rotation, if you want to even like, I mean, it's not looking good coming out of the break here. I think no matter what the outcome is, you are going to immediately tax your pen right out of the gate here. And I was talking to you pre-show about the ins and outs of the minor league system. There's no square to spare. There's nobody that they could bring up to pitch. Like, you're like, well, when Heel gets back or Fried gets back, or, well, what if those guys don't come back for a while here? We've seen this with the Mets where they've had to throw a lot of bullpen games. Is this something that the Yankees are going to have to deal with for a while now here, these bullpen games? And that is a tough way to navigate through the season, especially in the second half.
Yeah, so obviously we all anticipate Luis Heel being a factor. At some point, he threw those 60 pitches right before the break in Somerset, but in the build-up, they're trying to get him to 90 pitches. I still think you're looking at another 2.5-3 weeks. So, look, if it's blisters for Max Fried, he knows his body more than anybody. They could retroactive date this back to last Saturday. But, you know, if this becomes a thing where we're missing multiple starts through a rotation, to that point, Heel is not here in the next 2.5 weeks. Yarbrough is probably, you're talking about mid-August. And the Yankees have already now gone to the well and calling up a prospect like Cam Schlittler. And as much as I really touted him after that game, that was one game. You know what I mean? Like, if we put the, hey, I'm not that excited hat on and think about it real, I mean, that could go backwards too. The Yankee rotation could suddenly become a big bugaboo. Now, again, I'm not expecting season-ending devastating news here for Max Fried's blisters. But any amount of time lost, especially with this J series coming up, is ground lost in the AL East, because Max Fried, when we were out at Citi Field and we were talking about the plan A and plan B stuff with the Yankees and losing Soto, the whole key to the Yankees losing Soto and them working out and it being better for them was how good Max Fried's been off losing Gerrit Cole. This Yankee team is not built to survive missing both Gerrit Cole and Max Fried.
And you talked about the Toronto games being important. I think the Yankees enter the second half here with every game being important because the Red Sox have won 10 games in a row. Now, I thought the Red Sox would represent the American League in the World Series, and maybe there are people out there that don't believe in this team, but they traded Devers and have gotten better, way better. They've won 10 in a row. They're, what, a game back from the Yankees. So the Yankees are not in a position here where they could just, you know, punt the game or take games for granted because the Red Sox are knocking on their door and basically saying, we're going to pass you.
You're absolutely
and
right.
And we could be sitting here by the time you get to the Toronto series or a week from now, and the Yankees could not only be looking up at Toronto, they could be looking up at the Boston Red Sox, and then we're going to be having a totally different conversation about this team over the next couple of months.
No, you're absolutely right about that. It's not just about Toronto in front of them. It's about fending off Boston behind them. This AL East that the Yankees once led by about six games, I think that was their high watermark in the year. I'm trying to look back and think of that. But either way, this is now a very tight race. The Rays haven't necessarily gone away. Heck, Aaron Boone's picking some of their players to be in a swing-off after the All-Star game. The Yankees cannot afford Max Fried to be missing starts. But if he is, the answer right now out of the break is Ian Hamilton in a bullpen game? I know these bullpen games have become like the thing for certain teams. The New York Yankees, with all of their players besides Carlos Rodon a week off, they excite their fan base with a bullpen game. I can't wrap my head around it. It just feels so unprepared.
Yeah, it's absolutely like, someone passing wind in church, as they say, the old phrase is.
No, but I at least laugh at that. I can't laugh at this.
Well, you don't want to laugh at somebody when they do that. You don't want to draw attention to it. That's like, you know, looking at the sun or staring at, you know, if you're more on this in a little bit, if you are married, you don't want to be staring at another woman's behind. You just want to give it a quick little glance and then look the other way. So if somebody does actually pass wind in a setting that's not really the best setting, which would be obviously in the house of God, you don't want to, draw attention to it. Let me digress on this because, okay. I don't want to make it about our little thing with Fried and Holmes here, but I'm going to. This is the reason why I criticize the Yankees for signing Max Fried to an 8-year contract at age 31. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be, we're speculating, but this guy has spent several times on the IL. He's dealt with blisters. And when you get these starting pitchers throughout baseball get hurt a lot. And when you invest that many years, and you want to tell me the dollars because it's over the course of an 8-year thing, it's not as bad as some of the other starting pitching contracts. But when a guy is already getting injured and is already potentially going on the IL in his first year on the team, and you have him for another 7 years after this, that would be the cause for concern. And that's why I don't think you should give pitchers these type of contracts anymore, especially the ones that are in their 30s. I know that's more big picture, Sean, but that was my reasoning all along when I said what I said about Fried in the offseason.
I get it. And blisters aren't going to make me, it's not Tommy John, it's not arm strains, it's not shoulder problems, but it's still something he's dealt with his career. And it just feels off. Something doesn't feel right. And even if it is blisters for Max Fried, the idea that the pitching depth has gotten this low, that your first call to action is burn through the bullpen arms on day one out of the break when you know you might need the bullpen arms with Will Warren and Marcus Stroman behind them. Tommy, I just want to reiterate before we get to the calls.
Mm-hmm.
I could already see on social media, Twitter, X, anybody who's in team, don't be angry at the Yankees, keeps saying the same point. Does anybody not realize they're playing Toronto after Atlanta? You're right, and you said that about saving Fried and Rodon. My counter again is, does anybody not realize they have five starting pitchers if Fried's not going on the IL? So there's no reason for a bullpen game.
Yeah, I think either way, even if they were saving Fried for Toronto or he's hurt, either way, why are they doing a bullpen game tonight?
Right. You could have started Cam Schlittler, and I was trying to find this in the break. I didn't see anything on Cam Schlittler going back down and starting some kind of like minor league game to keep him in rhythm. If I missed that, so be it. But even if he did, then where is Will Warren tonight or Marcus Stroman tonight?
Correct.
There's no reason for a bullpen game at all unless something is around the corner. Again, I'm fine with saving your top guns, sitting there waiting for Toronto, but there's no reason to go and Ian Hamilton burn out the bullpen game right out of the break when you have five starting pitchers.
The good news is positive Aaron Boone will meet the media probably prior to 5 o'clock today. So we will get an answer on what's going on, why they went with a bullpen game today. And as soon as we hear from Boone, we'll obviously play it here on the show.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on positive Aaron Boone. Also, Mets news. While Yankee fans get frustrated, Mets news, some help. Brooks Raley has been activated off the IL. He will rejoin the Mets. First time he's going to pitch since that Tommy John. And we say farewell once again to our friend Dickie Lovelady.
Yeah, Dickie Lovelady, boy, I mean, he's got his frequent flyer miles. The old Dickster, Dickie Lovelady, has been around here. He's been up and down and back and around and not always as effective. But the reason why I'm so optimistic about the Mets going into the All-Star break and now coming out of it is that they're getting healthy, specifically in their pitching staff. Manaea obviously came back on Sunday. He looked great. Senga was back on Friday. He looked great. Now you get some much-needed help to this bullpen with the deadline coming up here in a couple of weeks. They are getting healthy. They are sort of going in the other directions. The Yankees are dealing with the Mets dealt with these bullpen games and injuries to their rotation. The Mets, who have dealt with a ton of injuries in their rotation, now look to be almost whole in their, you know, five-man rotation and then their bullpen getting a couple bodies back.
No biggie.
888-808-1019. Sharon in Staten Island. Sharon, you start us off this afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Hi, Sean and Tommy. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for making a call. What's up?
Max Fried is definitely going on the IL, and positive Aaron Boone will not even tell us that tonight. That'll like wait till Sunday or Monday as per the how to announce injury playbook.
Sharon, I'll let you continue. Great point. The Yankees are going to pitch guys out of the pen tonight, which means they don't have to announce Fried on the IL until, you know, they need to, and wait till they burn through a bullpen arm, somebody gets DFA'd or something after this game, then they'll make that announcement.
Absolutely. It's 4D chess. Like, they think they're tricking us. They're not tricking me.
No doubt. No doubt. Thanks for the call, Sharon. I'm with her. I would be stunned. I hope he's not going on the IL because you want a healthy Max Fried. But if he's not, it doesn't make any sense. You have five starting pitchers. Andy Pettit is a starting pitcher. Cam Schlittler is a starting pitcher.
And Sharon's right. You know, when positive Aaron Boone, who, as we know, reads off the teleprompter before and after games, if it's not on the prompter, whatever's on the prompter, Boone will read.
I don't know.
It's all right in front of us. It sounds like a Taylor Swift song. He rips off positive Tommy. He basically gives you the positive spin. Everything's all right. Everything's okay. Nothing to see here. And
not so positive now, are you, Tommy?
Well, I didn't ask for your input on that, Aaron. I'm just telling you that I know that you ripped off my positivity because after every game, he sounds like, you know, everything is all well and good.
We should actually pay honor to Aaron Boone today.
It's his birthday?
No, it might as well be.
It's his anniversary, wedding?
It's his Yankees birthday in many ways. 6 years ago today was the famous Savages in the Box rant.
That was 6 years ago today.
6 years ago already.
Wow.
That was pre-pandemic. Think about that.
Aaron Boone's time here feels longer than it actually is.
Yeah,
if that makes
years.
Sense. It's 8 years, but it feels like long. For the Boone supporters, maybe not, but just the amount of years that Aaron's been here, just it feels like longer. By the way, Sharon brought up 4D chess. I have no idea.
My
brain went maybe somewhere else with that. I thought she might have misspoke, but I don't know what 4D chess even means.
All right, we need to take a timeout on the show. Not a literal timeout. I was going to get back to the calls. Yeah. Don't do this to me today.
What?
I'm the idiot. You could be an idiot, but don't look on me to back you up and give you an answer. Tiki is not here typing in and going us down the rabbit hole. I cannot give you that answer. I don't know what she meant either, so I glossed over it and I moved on. So if you're going to call it out, be ready to know somebody in this room has an answer.
Well, no, I wasn't even looking for an answer. I was just pointing out to the audience, because I'm sure there's a lot of people in our audience that have no idea what the heck 4D chess is. I know there is chess. I assume there is some type of online chess.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Chess that you can play. I've never heard of 4D chess.
I think that means you smell the pieces.
I've looked it up here. It says it's a colloquial term. I don't know what colloquial, I try to say that. It's harder than Schlittler. Colloquial?
You said that quick.
No, I said... I
don't know what that other word means.
I got Cam Schlittler out just fine.
No biggie.
Colloquial. Colloquial.
I can't work on a show if Rosie's going to be the smartest guy here. That's not going to work either for the audience.
I'm smart. I just never heard of the term. I've just never heard of 4D chess.
Used in ordinary or familiar conversation, not formal or literary.
So it has nothing to do with chess?
Nah, or checkers.
Or is that colloquial, the definition?
That was the colloquial definition.
Got it. Okay. We're learning something without learning really anything here. That's what we got to the bottom.
My head hurts worse than Max Fried's hand.
Taking Excedrin.
Angel in the Bronx. Angel, what's up?
Good afternoon, fellas. What's going on, baby?
What's up?
I'm in a good mood because you're in a good mood because you know the Mets are about to rock second half of the season. The summer of Soto was just a preview of what we're going to get for the rest of the season, including the playoffs. We got Manaea back. Mm-hmm. We got Senga back. Mm-hmm. And Pete Alonso looks locked in. I feel like him not doing the derby this season actually did him favors. Lindor finally got the All-Star game. He should be rocking and rolling. Now it's just for the rest of the guys to pull up. I think Vientos found something during that series in Kansas City.
After he snapped his bat. Yeah, after he snapped his bat, he basically he woke up. I like that Summer of Soto thing, though. I don't know if that's something that Sal said or that's something that our caller invented, but I like that, the Summer of Soto.
Sal should have a budgeted amount of Soto phrases he can come up with here. Now he's doing Summer of Soto.
Also, to the
why don't you do the Soto thing? I think that's enough.
Also, the Summer of has been slightly overused. Of course, you have the Summer of Love. You have the Summer of George. Oh, you have the Son of Sam. I thought it wasn't the Summer of Sam. It was the Son of Sam.
Wasn't Summer of Sam a show MSG did or something involving that and the Yankees?
Or was it involving Sam Rosen, perhaps? I don't know.
No, it was not.
It was the Son of Sam. I don't know why I thought it was the Summer of Sam. I don't know actually when he did his whatever he had to do there was over the course of the summer. But yeah, Summer of George, the Summer of Love, and now the Summer of Soto. I like that. That has a ring to it.
How about just the summer? 888-808-1019. Again, everything needs a gimmick. Act like a big boy. Dennis in Morganville. Dennis, what's up?
Actually, sorry, they got my name wrong. It's Bennett, but first time, long time.
Wait, I'm sorry. I said Dennis in Morganville, and your name is what?
Bennett. B-E-N-N-E-T-T.
Oh, Bennett. Okay, I gotcha. All right, what's going on?
No worries. So, yeah, it's rare that my nerddom overlap with sports, but someone made a reference to fourth-dimensional chess. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it is a Star Trek reference.
I couldn't correct you. I've never seen an episode of my life.
We have no idea what you're talking about, so we can't really correct you here. I'm more of a Star Wars guy than a Trekkie, and I would text Eddie Scazzeri for the answer here,
Trekkie.
But he'll get back to me in 4.5 days. He still has a flip phone. So,
Dennis, that might make sense, though, and thank you. And I wish I had an answer for that. Where I grew up, if I watched Star Trek, I'd have a wedgie and shoved in a locker. So I couldn't do that growing up.
All right, the internet is telling me the term originates from the concept of 3D chess from Star Trek and is applied to various situations, particularly in politics and business. That's the 3D chess part of it.
All right, so 4D chess. That's a good, I guess, pop culture phenomenon reference.
Star Trek, Star Wars, I can't even tell them apart.
Exactly.
Stanley, who cares?
I forgot about that mic bit. Exactly. 888-808-1019. John in Middletown. John, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
What's going on, John?
I have a question about the trading deadline. What the Mets will do? You think what the Mets will do?
Sure. What do you got?
You think they're going to get some pitching? Hopefully, they're going to get some pitching.
That's the big take. Hopefully, the Mets are going to get some pitching. I agree. Hopefully, the Mets are going to get some pitching. They need big help in the bullpen. Brooks Raley coming back. I thought we were getting a little more meat on the bone with that call, Tommy. Rough start here early on the phones.
No, I thought that was a great call. That was a nice fella, wonderful Met fan, and he did one of those, hey, love
you think
guys.
He froze?
I think the pressure sometimes will eat people alive, but I thought he had a good point there. I wouldn't say hopefully, because I would trust David Stearns and Steve Cohen to be active at the deadline. This is an all-in type of team. They know what their weaknesses are, so I wouldn't say hopefully. I think they will add arms.
Yeah, and I think that's clearly, to me, a bigger need for them than adding anything to the lineup. I know people are searching for a real center fielder, but look, we talk about the Yankee injuries right now, and the Mets are extremely healthy. I got to see a lot here from Manaea and Senga without holding my breath from here through September. And again, the bullpen, Brooks Raley coming back is not exactly Mariano Rivera either. That is still going to be a major need for this team, and I think they will. I think in the end, the top two bullpen arms at the trade deadline that do become available, whether it is an Emmanuel, Class A, Bedard from the Pirates, I think they're going to end up between the two locals here in New York. I do think you're going to get a bit of, for lack of a better pun, an arms race between both of those general managers.
Yeah, I would love, obviously, Class A. At one point, he was one of the best, if not the best, closers in all of baseball, and you could pair him with Edwin Diaz. Obviously, Class A gives you the eighth inning, Diaz in the ninth, and it gives you a little insurance if Diaz doesn't stay here long-term, and Class A could be sort of your closer of the future. So I would love that move if the Mets were able to pull that off with Cleveland.
John and Maspeth. John, what's up, man?
Oh, boy.
What's up? Now, listen, this Yankee team is making things complicated, man, with Max Fried. Listen, if his blister's not, you know, ready yet to come back and pitch where, you know, he's not pitching today, tomorrow, or Sunday, just throw him on a 10-day injury list. It'll be retroactive to last Saturday. He'll be able to pitch on Wednesday, the third game against Toronto, which
correct,
will be a key game. So just why not just throw him on the injury list now? Bring up a bullpen arm today so we're not burning out the bullpen the next 3, 4, or 5 games. Bring up Clayton Beter
bullpen. John, this is
just
you're hitting on why this is an issue. The 10-day IL thing John's talking about retroactively would make plenty of sense, and he would be eligible to pitch the third and final game in Toronto. However, the Yankees didn't do that when they announced these three pitchers. Now, does that mean they can't come out at 4 o'clock and announce that somebody else is here? We've brought back Clayton Beter or whatever the heck they're going to do? Sure, it's possible. But if they don't do that today, if we don't get an IL news today, that means they're just kind of playing it out, waiting to see if he's ready for one of those two games. But to that point, if you plan on him pitching in Toronto anyway, I would argue, what the heck is the difference in the first game, the second game, or the third game in Toronto? So it would just help to put him on the IL. Who cares? You're planning on waiting to start him versus Toronto? Then make it the earliest he's going to start that third game. Do Schlittler, do Rodon, and then that is why you're starting a bullpen game today. But where's the corresponding move? Why are you going in here short tonight? Just do the IL stint, and then know he's going to... Or if he doesn't come back, then all right, you deal with it then. But at least you still have him in line to start then and get the extra arm now.
Yeah, this feels like the Yankees trying to be smarter than everybody in the room here, and they're overthinking, and by overthinking, they're making a mistake. That's because, number one, we don't know what they're doing. We don't know if Fried is actually hurt. We know he is dealing with a blister. We know Toronto's coming up, so it's potential that they're either holding out to see if he could pitch against Toronto, or they're trying to see if this blister could go away in the next couple of days, and they don't have to make a corresponding move, and they don't have many guys down in the minors anyway to bring up.
So it's 3 games here versus the Braves, 3 games versus Toronto. So the pitching slot tonight that the Yankees are using a bullpen game, just to kind of explain this better, the pitching slot tonight would be the pitching slot, in theory, for the third and final game in Toronto. If that is their plan, Schlittler and Rodon, because this sounds crazy to put Cam Schlittler in the circle of trust, but at least Toronto hasn't seen him. He had very live electric stuff. You don't really fully trust Will Warren, although I have more faith in him than others. You don't trust Marcus Stroman. I get a Schlittler, Rodon, Fried lineup at Toronto. But then Fried also can just simply go on the IL and be activated in that third game versus Toronto, and they haven't done that. So why? Why?
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher. And like I said, hopefully we get more information from the Yankees in the next hour or two, 3 hours, whatever the case may be, because Boone has to meet the media, and I'm assuming they're going to announce something on what's going on here other than we really like Ian Hamilton and we want to do an opener. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, so if Boone comes on a microphone, and obviously Connor and Rosie will monitor this, and he says, hey, we're just taking free day by day right now, that's why we're starting the bullpen game, that's still not a good answer is my point.
Well, and I think that's more of an ominous answer. When you start to do that day by day stuff, because... I think Yankee
day by day means he should be on the IL, Tommy, because no matter what, he can pitch on that third game in Toronto if he's ready.
Right, and the Yankees are always weird about injuries, too, and the way they communicate that with their audience and just the day-by-day stuff. I'm not saying that you to be worried, but something definitely smells here. Something is fishy.
Something smells. It's not Evan's armpits, or maybe it is on an airplane right now. 888-808-1019. Bruce in Flushing. Bruce, what's up?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about tonight's bullpen game.
Yep.
And also what I think Brian Cashman is going to do for the trade deadline.
All right.
First on tonight, either Stiller is hurt or they're so close in pulling a trade involving him, they're afraid to pitch him.
Ooh, Bruce. All right, what else you got? I'll answer that in a second, but you had another point you wanted to make?
Yeah. According to rumblings that I've picked up the couple of days, Cashman is either going to do a mega deal with Arizona or Pittsburgh. Pete Caldera, who writes for the New Jersey papers, has already predicted a multiplayer deal with Arizona and New York.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's trending that way with Suarez. There's a lot of smoke around there, Bruce. And maybe there is some truth to that. Maybe over the trade deadline there was enough discussed, and maybe Bruce is onto something that Cam Schlittler would be in that deal, and that's why he's being held back a little bit.
Yeah, you know, there was an old phrase, if you lose Cronkite, or Walter Cronkite, I should say, you lose America. When Bruce hears rumblings, I think that there's something to that. Like, Bruce himself is hearing that.
Yeah.
Not just like we are hearing it. Bruce himself has heard these rumblings, according to Bruce. So I got to go with that.
Bruce is reading Twitter like the rest of us. I did hear at first, in my mind, I thought Bruce said he was hearing Roman Reigns, which I don't know
honestly,
how he would have any
ink. I heard the same thing. And then when he said Schlittler, I felt my radio career, you know, flashing in front of me because I was like, boy, he barely got through that Schlittler. It's a tough one to get through. And I think we've only had one mishap so far here on the radio station that I'm aware of. Yeah, I don't think that we've had multiple ones.
And that was Danielle who owned it right away. I'm taking a lot of credit for that. I spent that full first day about Cam Schlittler really hammering home how nobody could screw it up. And I think, like, as a true locker room leader, most of the staff followed my lead and didn't want to make that mistake. That's me patting myself on the back. 888-808-1019. Our friend Chris in Bayshore is here. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I heard the interviews earlier today about David Wright.
Yeah, and Sal did a great job today.
They really did. I mean, Murphy was great, and the satin guy was great. I got a story. I remember taking my son, he was 10 years old, to St. Lucie for spring training. And I just remember the day I dropped him off, and I see so many kids around Wright, and he's standing there. This was after the day was done. It was 1, 2 o'clock. And I go, and I take my wife, my daughter home, and to where we were staying. And, you know, probably not great parenting. I leave my son there. He's 10 years old. I come back, and the guy is still standing there signing for kids that were, like, as large a group almost as it was when I left. And I just sat there and I watched, and he signed until every kid had an autograph. It was
that's great.
I'd never seen anything like it, and I was kind of, like, hesitant to even encourage my son to hang around, but, I mean, there wasn't one kid left disappointed.
Yeah, you've heard a lot of that, and I remember having a lot of those same experiences. Not me personally, but, you know, when you would go in early for batting practice and watch the guys come over, David Wright was always very personable, specifically with the kids. And I hate to make it sound so simplistic, but it really is that simple, I think, with a connection with the fans. You could tell the guys to kind of, you know, run in the dugout, have to stick with their normal routine, and guys that will take that extra minute or two to make a kid's memory for life. And David Wright was one of those guys, as we've heard plenty of those stories.
Yeah, I mean, there are a million reasons why David Wright is so special to this town, to the Met fan base, to the Met fan. And one of the big ones is that he spent his entire career with the Mets. Even Tom Seaver didn't do that. So there aren't many that you could say they spent their entire career with the Mets, homegrown. He's a salt of the earth type of guy, captain of the team, just the nicest guy. And look, there's a sadness to the way his career got derailed with the back stuff, the spinal stenosis. So there's almost like this roller coaster ride of David Wright. And for a lot of people out there, especially if you're close to my age, which is 40, we got to see David Wright's entire career. So Saturday, tomorrow, is just such a special day to honor one of the real good guys. I think of like the Eli Mannings of the world and somebody that you would want to represent your fan base and be your and represent your franchise, I should say, and the face of your franchise. I can't think of a better person than David Wright.
Around 5:30 p.m. this evening, Tommy will reveal his final moment of the 5 straight days countdown, his favorite David Wright moment of his lifetime. We will get into more David Wright and legacy stuff coming up in about 15 minutes. 888-808-1019. Christopher in Queens. Christopher, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show, man.
Appreciate it, Chris. What's going on?
I just wanted to bring up you know, the Mets and stuff. I know the trade deadline coming up, and I just want to see you guys take on what positions maybe and who you think they should start looking at.
Okay, so there's been a lot of Bednar rumors. I think bullpen for me, because Edwin Diaz is as good as it gets in the closer role, but getting to Edwin Diaz, especially when you consider, forget the Clay Holmes stuff I talked about last week with Tiki, Kodai Senga, you know, some of that six-day stuff. Manaea is asking a lot from the comeback. In the postseason, I have a hard time saying outside of David Peterson, I trust anybody to get beyond the sixth inning. How the hell are you bridging the gap to Edwin Diaz with any sort of confidence based on what you have now? And look, maybe Raley comes back and gives you plenty. I don't trust Reed Garrett. Brazoban, good for you. I'm sorry, I need another arm in the pen. I think that is absolutely their biggest need above anything else.
Yeah, I'm looking to add pitching at the deadline, whether that's in the rotation if you want to bring back a Seth Lugo. I know Jacob DeGrom, but DeGrom's not coming back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Back here, so that's more
than
the pipe
dream. How is that a talking point? How many times does Texas need to say they're not moving the guy? He's got a no trade. He's not being moved. Why is that still a talking point with Met fans?
Because I think it's a pipe dream. Why is a talking point to be, well, I want to live in a mansion on the beach, which I do, by the way. It's just a talking point.
Yeah,
it's something to dream for.
Yeah, that's more having fun with something. But we're still, like, there are people still bringing this up. It's not happening.
Because I think that time heals all wounds. And I'm not saying that all Met fans sort of were done with Jake by the end. But I think there was at least a portion of the fan base that were sick and tired of Jacob DeGrom's act, meaning they thought it was an act in the sense that he could be out there more, he could be pitching more, he gets hurt too much. And I think that the break here has given Met fans a chance to heal up, and it healed up all the wounds, and they want him back, but it's not happening. I think a Seth Lugo sort of coming back is more of a realistic possibility than it is Jacob DeGrom.
888-808-1019. Sam in Rockland. Sam, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And by the way, I hope you two get your own show one day. But
me and Tommy, I'd never work with him in my life.
Yeah, guys, never. Never.
Well, it would be pure comedy.
Well, thank you. But, my mom agrees with you, Sam. So I appreciate it. I don't know about Sean's mom. I won't speak for Nancy because
my mom hates Tommy,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
She does. Yeah, that old geezer. But yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about the trade deadline. So I know the Yankees won't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, Sam. We're having our own show.
Yeah, I know the Yankees won't do this. I want to know if you were the general manager, if you would consider it. So if there's a trade, the Yankees send Anthony Volpe and Jason Dominguez to Baltimore for Gunnar Henderson.
Sam, thank you. Yes, I would. As much as I love the Martian, I would take Gunnar Henderson being the shortstop here for a long time. Now, I actually hate answering that because it's the most ridiculous trade proposal of all time. The idea that the Orioles would trade their Gunnar Henderson to the Yankees for two Flyers. And Volpe at this point, frankly, is worthless. Doesn't mean he can't build up his career. Think about it. What is Anthony Volpe is basically IKF that plays less positions right now.
Yeah, I mean, Volpe's stock, it couldn't be any lower. And I got to be fair. I mean, Jason Dominguez, compared to what we heard about him before he ever got up here, the next Mike Trout, the Mickey Mantle, the Martian.
Now.
But, Sean, he has not been that player. So his stock is not what it was before. The hype around this guy was...
Yeah.
No.
Have you paid attention to the last month and a half of baseball here? This is his rookie year, dude.
Sean, I'm talking about guys that make a impact right away. It's his rookie year, but he's also been up here before this
But that's
season.
On the Yankees. Hold on. He came up 9 games where he looked like he could have been the best player in baseball.
He looked good. I wouldn't say the best player in baseball, but he looked good when he came up for that little
stint. He was unreal. Gets hurt. The Yankees, because they're the freaking Yankees, sit there with Alex Verdugo the moment Dominguez was ready last year, and they were on a ready-made team. They thought could win the World Series. They got to a World Series, and they trusted the veterans. I do believe there was a portion of last year where they stunted Jason Dominguez's growth. This year, they come into camp for whatever reason. Maybe they view Spencer Jones as the future center fielder and didn't love Dominguez as what they saw behind the scenes in center, whatever. They make him mentally have to learn a new position, new angles off the bat in left field, and then start the year by not giving him the same leash and Anthony Volpe was given, running Trent Grisham out there a bunch. Now that he's finally gotten the opportunity to play consistently, it's not like it feels like we're in year three of Dominguez. We're not. This is his first full year on a roster. He is a rookie. And he has, outside of Aaron Judge, become the second most impactful bat on the team over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, I just think that with the hype train, I'm not saying that his value is where it was with Anthony Volpe. And maybe we'll see that. And like you said, over the last month or so and in the second half here. But when you think of where Jason Dominguez was slotted in terms of the hype machine, you expect this guy to be Bobby Witt Jr., Elly De La Cruz. Like, this
okay,
should be one of the best young players in baseball, and I don't know if he's ever going to reach that. That's all
Maybe
I'm
not.
Saying. So
Maybe
if you had trained him a couple years ago based on the next Mike Trout, Mickey Mantle, a Martian, that whole thing, I thought this guy would be, at one point, the best player in baseball. And maybe he does end up being that one day.
Right.
But I have not seen enough to think that he will be amongst the league's best players.
I think what has hurt Jason Dominguez in that mindset is that we fall in love with society with big home run boppers. And I think that's been the one thing that's lacked a little bit from Dominguez's game, but he's shown everything else. You know, speed. Okay. You know, he hasn't been a complete butcher in the outfield, but he's had his rough moments, but it hasn't been a disaster like we thought in the spring. But his hitting for average, the on-base stuff, specifically from the left side, that's what's killed him. He's a switch hitter, and the right side hasn't been as live. And truthfully, I think in the offseason, if the Yankees are smart, they probably look into making him fully a left-handed hitter. But you don't want to give up that value in switch hitting. So it's something I have to play back and forth. But overall, I mean, when you think about the hit for average, the gap hitting, all that stuff that he's emerged, not the same player, apples to oranges. It's been Jason Dominguez that's shown more Derek Jeter-like qualities than Anthony Volpe has in the last 3 years.
And speaking of Volpe, if I were the Yankees, I would send him down. I don't care if he has a bobblehead day coming up in a few weeks. How much more do you... I think he's hitting like 100 over his last 80 plate appearances. His average is down to, what, 215? We saw that play on the Sunday before the All-Star break where, not in that he was lollygagging it, but he is taking his bad offense out to the field with him. The stuff with his dad, which, whatever. I thought he embarrassed his son and he put his son in a tough spot there, but... The Anthony Volpe has now reached this list, Sean, that you are well aware of Yankee players that there's always one guy per year that the Yankee fan just can't stand more than anybody else, whether it's Joey Gallo, Josh Donaldson, Gary Sanchez, A-Rod was on that list mm-hmm. at times. Anthony Volpe has gotten to that list now where no matter what, if there's a rainout, blame Anthony Volpe. He's like Canada in South Park. Everybody's blaming Anthony Volpe. I would just send him down at this point.
I would too.
What more are you going to get out of him up here with this struggles?
I still hope that this stems from that diving into the ground shoulder injury that felt like it came and gone very quickly on Kentucky Derby Day. I'm going to pound that into the ground. You know, Digital right that was Chris McMonagle's take, but I'm going to keep pounding it into the ground that I'm hoping that that's what it is and that he's not a complete disaster.
And what point do we start to, and you've done a good job of this, the Yankees and their handling of injuries this season has been abysmal.
This season, Anthony Rizzo.
The Rizzo one, though, I think the concussion stuff is a little bit trickier because everybody handles concussions differently. Yeah. I'm not saying they handled it well, but that's a little bit trickier. The Clark Schmidt stuff was egregious.
Mark Leiter having Jazz Chisholm with a bad throwing shoulder play third when it wasn't his position. The Yankees do not get any passes for this whatsoever.
They waited a while on the Gerrit Cole injury.
Yep. It doesn't end with them. I want to love them. They're my favorite baseball team, but it doesn't end with them.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.